To Luke chapter 1, it will be on page 556 in your pew Bibles. And as we continue to look at the series of looking at God's redemptive intent as we look through the message of the coming of the kingdom and how it should shape our view on the mission of God, we'll be looking at another song in the first chapter of Luke. And this is these songs, just like what we talked about last time, is the first songs in the New Testament. It's like the Psalms of the New Testament. And 2 weeks ago, we considered together the message of Mary through her song in chapter 1, often called the Magnificat. And today we'll be also now looking at Zechariah's song in chapter 1. And so we'll be looking at verses 67 to 79. And so if you have a copy of a Bible, or you can look at to the screen, just turn with me to Luke chapter 1. And often this is called the Benedictus. And this is Zechariah's prophecy in Luke chapter 1, verses 67 to 79. Before we read it, why don't we pray together? And then we'll read the scripture of the Lord together. Oh God, give us the Holy Spirit so that because we want to know, we want to do more than just understand your word. We want to meet with your Son, Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we ask that you bless the reading of this word and also the preaching of the word. Lord God, we pray that you will give me words to speak. Pray that you will remove my sin as your servant so that I may be righteous before you and that we will be able to hear your word and, more importantly, meet you face to face here. And so, Lord God, we lift this time up into your hands and make them a means of grace in which we can, in which Christ can communicate with us through to us the benediction of his word. And so, Lord God, we pray all this in your Son's most precious name. Amen. Let's all rise together and read Luke chapter 1, verses 67 to 79. And his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets of the old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham to grant us, that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord and prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation to his people and the forgiveness of their sins, because of the random mercy of our God. Thereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And that's the word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. And so last time, a few of you 2 weeks ago asked, how come we are looking at a Christmas story in March? How come we are starting to look at the beginning of Luke? And because as we move towards Good Friday, as we move towards Easter Sunday, I feel it's a good idea for us to be reminded of God's redemptive intent that is shown throughout human history, so that as we reflect upon it, it will give us insight of God's plan and as in the light of the fulfillment of his promises through Jesus on the cross and his resurrection. And so today we'll be looking at one character, Zechariah. So in Chinese, we call everyone older than us uncle. So for Jesus, Zechariah is kind of like uncle, but technically, he is, in Chinese, we have specifically names of each relative. In English, it will be, it's technically called first cousin, once we move, in-law kind of thing. It took a lot of exegesis for me to figure that one out. And so this is a relative of Jesus. Mary and Elizabeth are cousins. And so for Zechariah, upon hearing the great news that he will, his wife Elizabeth, they will bear a son, and this son will be a great prophet, he should be very excited because he himself a priest. He knows that the promise of God is what the promise of God is. He should be very excited. But we can read in Luke chapter 1 that during this couple months, he was not having any fun at all. The reason being is that if you remember, some of you remember the story early in Luke chapter 1, in that Mary traveled all the way to the Judean countryside to visit Elizabeth. And that's when Elizabeth found out that she was going to have a boy named John. And then afterwards, when Mary was visited by the angel saying that she will bear a son, she traveled. She actually had to, remember last time we said that she might have had to run away to stay with Elizabeth for 3 months just to hide a little bit. But they're there to get to know one another more, to support one another and pray for one another. And for Zechariah, during all this time, as Mary and Elizabeth, they were having this bonding moment over those couple months, he wasn't having any fun at all. The reason is that he couldn't speak at all. We can see that in verse 18, because of Zechariah's faithlessness and his unbelief. We see that when Zechariah was responding to the angel Gabriel's announcement to his wife Elizabeth that they will bear a son, this is what Zechariah said: "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in year." Now think of who Zechariah is. He is a priest. He is serving at the temple for God, and he was told that Israel is waiting for a Messiah. And yet he's a man of God. He's a man of faith, and yet during all of this, he has a moment of unbelief, and he should know that even throughout the biblical history, throughout human history, God has used miraculous birth to bring out his promises, to fulfill his promises. And we don't have to look far from Abraham and Sarah, the matriarch of the people of Israel. And so Zechariah should know this. Zechariah should know that God will work in a miraculous way. But yet, in his unbelief, he thought that, well, I am advanced in age. My wife is advanced in age. How can that be? And so this is just a sign that it's not the main point of the sermon, but it's to remind us that no matter what stage of spiritual walk we are, we might be tempted to face unbelief. And so this is what happened to Zechariah, is that moment of unbelief. He said, God, how can this happen? How can you give me a son while I am old and my wife is also advanced in age? And so it's kind of telling us, this part of the story is telling us to always be on our guard, that we might have our moments of unbelief. And this is what happened to Zechariah. In his unbelief, God had to show him who God is. And so God said to Zechariah, oh, if you don't believe what I can do, let me show you what I can do. And he made Zechariah mute. And Zechariah could not speak again because of that moment of unbelief. And as we look forward, we can see in verse 60, even in verse 62, I don't think it's not just his mute. You can see in verse 62 is that people are gesturing to him. People are making hand signals. So I think that not only Zechariah could not speak, maybe he could not even hear at all. So that's why people have to make all these gestures to Zechariah. So the consequences of his unbelief, God showed him how powerful he is. He made Zechariah not only mute, but he also made Zechariah partly deaf. And so during that time, during the time of the pregnancy for Elizabeth, Zechariah was in silence. He was living in silence. And very appropriate that Pastor Richard brought out Psalm 32 just now. Because Psalm 32 said that when we are in our sin, when we're facing the consequences of sin, and if we're keeping quiet about it, he kept silent, my bones are wasted away. And so can you imagine, over that 9 months, as Elizabeth was rearing the child, was pregnant, was getting ready to give birth, Zechariah was also in silent, but also ready to give birth to his response to God, because he could not speak, he could not hear. And so after 9 months of speechlessness, Elizabeth delivered a healthy baby boy, and she named him John. And so, the naming might not seem so different because we know so many people named John in our midst. But for Elizabeth, for her to name the child John, it might cause some controversy, because the naming of the son usually follows some family tradition. So usually they pick a name that was in the family, one of the ancestors. And so John was not in one of the names that they would choose. And so when Elizabeth says, "I'm going to name my child John," everyone turned to Zechariah. And what does Zechariah say? Well, he can't say anything because he can't speak at that time. I guess he just nodded and said, "Yes, this is what he will name the child, John." And as soon as that happened, his mouth opened. He could speak again because he trusted God has worked through Elizabeth and him and will bring upon a boy, a great prophet named John. And so imagine if you couldn't speak for 9 months. What will be the first thing that come off your mouth? For Zechariah, it could be, "Whew, I can speak again." Or he could be, he might have a lot of these things stored up in his heart. But yet, through the 9 months of silence, and maybe this is something that we need to learn, through silence, we're able to reflect on what God is doing in our lives. So as we prepare for the Good Friday and Easter season, I invite you to spend some time to turn off all the noises around you, and to open your ears and see what God is saying. And perhaps God is saying during this time to say to you that be still and know that I am God. So for Zechariah, his mouth is open, his voice is back, and immediately he starts singing to the Lord. The first thing that comes out of his mouth was praise to God, the God that just punished him for 9 months for taking away his food. But he, through that, he was able to reflect and know that, you know what, this God is the sovereign God. And so through the silence, he was able to reflect and deliver this beautiful song that we just read. And so it says that his name is John. And Luke says immediately his mouth was open and his tongue was loosened and he spoke, blessing the Lord. So Zechariah sang about a song of blessing God, giving praises to God. And so I'm going to break this up into three sections. And Zechariah, number one, he sings about God's plan. And so for those who like to take notes, you might want to jot these three sections down. He wants to sing about God's plan. Then he sings about God's provision. And then he sings about God, the person, God's person. And so God's plan, God's provision, and person. And these are the theme of Zechariah's song. So first of all, God's plan. And it's the central theme of Zechariah's song. We actually saw this theme last time, 2 weeks ago, when we looked at Mary's song. But this is even more clearly written in this song. It's that how Zechariah sings that in Jesus Christ, God is keeping his promise and in fulfilling the ancient covenant that he has made with fathers. We are being reminded that Zechariah is saying that in God's infinite sovereignty, that God upheld and govern all his creatures and all their actions. It all points towards one thing, is that to fulfill that ancient oath, that ancient promise, that he will redeem his people. And so throughout all the ages, throughout all of history, we see kings rise and fall. We see people praising God, prophesizing about God. And Zechariah sees that it all points to this moment, that one, there will be a son who is born in the house of David. So we saw that we read that in the opposite testament, is that God promised that a king will be born through the house of David and the kingdom will be established forever. And so in 1 Samuel, he said, just as the prophets of old has said. And so look, all of these promises in the past, throughout all of Scripture, throughout all of Old Testament Scripture, it points to this one point, is that God will fulfill his promises because he remembers his holy covenant for his people and the oath that he swore to the father Abraham and throughout the millennia-old covenant. And God will bless the world through one of Abraham's son, one of Abraham's descendant, through the line of David, and towards a child lying in a manger. And so we see that in verse 76 again, that this time Zechariah addresses his own son about John the Baptist. This infant boy will speak about his future ministry. That this child, we are told, will be the prophet of the Most High. And immediately, right after John, will come the Lord, and John is there to prepare the way. And so what Zechariah is saying is that, do you see? He's looking back and seeing all the prophets, all the Old Testament prophets, and it's pointing towards his son being the last prophet to prepare the way of the Lord. And so he's seeing the era of promises is now over, and we are getting ready for all these promises to be kept and to be fulfilled. And John is the one immediately preceding Jesus, and Jesus is the one whom the promise shall be kept at last. And so Zechariah, through this song, he's celebrating this truth that God is sovereign, that God, throughout all of history, he is working, and this is the point that we have been waiting for. And this is the point that Christ is the focal point of God's plan. And so Jesus once said to the religious leader, "You search the scripture, for in them you think that you have eternal life," speaking about the Old Testament scriptures. But these are they which speak of me. It is all about me. So Jesus knows that, even himself, he knows that all the scripture points to him. So brothers and sisters, as we study the word of God together, as we know scripture, it's not only good enough to know scripture, but it's for us to know scripture so that we can see how all the strands and scriptures points to this one point, points to the fulfillment of the promise of God through Jesus. And so you might read scripture daily and you can still miss the point. So that's why we want to teach, especially the youth, but everyone at church, is that everything in scripture points to Christ. And so do you know Christ? Do you know him? And this is what Zechariah is talking about as he's saying, is that all of this points to Christ. And secondly, Zechariah, through his song, teaches us about God's provision, how God provides, how God sending Jesus, that he will provide for all of humankind. And I love to linger in this point because we can see in this song how Zechariah really sings about how God not only keeps his promise, but provides for his people. And we can see four points in here. How God provides is through redemption, through renewal, through illumination, and through peace. So redemption, renewal, illumination, and peace. And you see these themes throughout all of Zechariah's song. And let's think about redemption first. In verse 68, we see that God has redeemed his people, Israel. Redemption means being set free from oppression and from the bondage by the payment of a price. So we've been set free. And in Mary's song, we saw that the poor has been set free. The poor has been lifted up. The rich has been pushed down so that the poor will no longer be oppressed. And we see that here, that people are being set free by the redemptive work of Christ. And we know that we are being redeemed by the Passover lamb that is shed for us. And all of Israel knows this. As they're approaching Passover, they remember their history in Egypt, how a Passover lamb blood was shed, and so that the price that they were supposed to pay, it was passed over them. And so Zechariah sees that this is, all of history is pointing to this point, is that God will also send us his Passover lamb so that we can be redeemed. We'll be free from the bondage of sin and the slavery of the guilt of sin. And so with the coming of Jesus Christ, we have redemption. We have forgiveness of our sin. And John will come to preach that and prepare the way and to make to give the salvation of his of his people, and to give the knowledge of the salvation to his people and the forgiveness of the sin. And then Jesus will provide that redemption and the forgiveness of sin. And we also see a theme of renewal in verse 74. What are we redeemed for? Why are we forgiven? We are redeemed for holiness. We're redeemed so that in verse 74, if we were to pick up one of the main verses of this song, it's right here. Is that what we are saved for? That we are being delivered from the hands of an enemy, that we might serve God, that we can serve him without fear and in holiness and righteousness before him. And so we're being redeemed for a purpose, so that we can serve God, so that we can partner with God in his ministry, and to bring back that picture in the Garden of Eden, how Adam and Eve were to serve God by obeying him, serve God by taking care of all of creation, serve God by having dominion over all of creation. And so we are being redeemed and pardoned and renewed, so that in holiness and godliness we will walk on this earth and to serve God so that his will be done on earth. And that's what we are alluding to as Jesus saying that the kingdom of God is near. That kingdom of God is breaking into this world, and we are to serve our king so that we can bring light and his will into the world. And this brings us to the theme of illumination and of peace in Zechariah's song, that God provides us with redemption and renewal. And then in 78, in verses 78 and 79, there is illumination and peace. Jesus forgives people because of the tender mercy of God. And so listen to this beautiful language that described the coming of Jesus. Because of tender mercy of our God, thereby the sunrise shall visit us from Most High. So the sun is rising on us. In a couple weeks from now, on Easter Sunday, we'll have sunrise service. That's something that I always look forward to every year, that we stand on the fifth floor balcony. It might be cold, it might be warm, it depends on the year. But one thing that we know for sure is that the excitement that we get when the sun rises through those apartment buildings, we can see the sun come up. And this is the image that Zechariah is painting, that the sun is coming up. It will chase away darkness. It will give light to those who sit in darkness, in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And if you've been to my house, you know that I love lights. And so if you say I love lamp, because I like building lamps, building light, and I like filling the house with light. And the reason why I like light is because I don't like the darkness. In the darkness, it's like a double whammy for me. In the darkness, I usually have a lot of time because it's before bed. If it's dark, I'm usually not wearing my glasses too. So I'll be bumping into everything. And so even last night, Jenny is asleep already. I was just finishing wrapping up. I was coming into the room. It was completely pitch black, and I was knocking over things. I was tripping over the roller that the foam roller that was on the ground. I jammed my toes into the corner of the bed, and so I don't like darkness. And so this is what's happening, is that the coming of Christ is that sunrise, and Jesus said that in John, that I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And so isn't that a beautiful picture? We don't have to walk in darkness anymore. We don't have to jam our toes into the corner of bed, or even worse, step on Lego pieces. And so God is chasing away the darkness. As we were under the shadow of death, as we're living in darkness, God is chasing that away, and leading us into a way of peace. And so why did Jesus come? What can he supply? It's that he came to supply a provision for our hearts. Is that we need to be right with God. We need to be right with God when we are facing God in the heavenly courts, and because the problem is that we are guilty, but that Jesus provides us a way out through his redemption. He provides us a way out by paying the penalty for us, and so that we might go free. That's the renewal, and that our hearts are broken and are prone to sin, but yet our hearts are being made new by the redemption of Christ. And so in Christ, for those who are in Christ, the old has gone and the new has come. And Jesus is the light of the world, and it pierces darkness and gives us the light of life. And so that's the exciting thing for that Zechariah is singing about, is that for humans, for people, there's hope that we are no longer under bondage, we're no longer in darkness, that Christ is breaking in like a sunrise, pierces in the darkness, and give us a chance in life. And so there's no lacking in Jesus. We have everything that we need in him because he provides life for us. And lastly, we see in the song that what does God provide? He provides God himself, the person. How does God keep his word and fulfill his plan? And this is what, if you think about his person, this is what in 1 Samuel 6, John the Baptist, Zechariah's son, will be the prophet of the Most High. He will go before the Lord and prepare his way. And so why do we need John the Baptist to prepare the way for the Lord? Have you ever thought about this? Why there's need for John the Baptist? It's because Jesus himself is coming. God himself is coming into the earth. And so John is prepared the way. God is not some chess player up in heaven and as he exercising his will, moving chess pieces. No, God sent his own son. God himself entered into the chessboard and he walked with us on earth and be with us. And that's why during Christmas we always sing Emmanuel, God is with us. And so that's the glory of the Christian gospel, is that God himself comes to keep his word in the man of Jesus Christ. God himself walked along the earth with us. Jesus Christ born and goes through infancy and teenage years and into adulthood to be the perfect savior to all children, to all teenagers, to all adults who might call upon his name. And he takes upon himself the terrible burden of our guilt and sin. And in full array of human suffering, which we will go into furthermore as we approach Good Friday and Easter Sunday, he suffered and was drowned in sorrow. He learned obedience by the things that he suffered in. He bled and then he died. And then he rises and reigned as God became man in Jesus Christ. So God, when he makes a provision for us, he fulfills the promise given to us by walking on earth with us. He doesn't do it from a distance. He is a very personal God. He is that Emmanuel God. And so this is how God's plan began full in Zechariah's song, is that the provision is complete. God has kept his word. God has kept his promise. And he cares for you personally, so that he sent his own son to walk alongside of you, to understand what you have feel, what you have going through. And that's the gift that he's given you. And so do you know Jesus? Do you have that gift that God has given you? Is he yours? And more importantly, are you his? Will you continue to stumble in darkness without him? Or are you going to let him to be the light of your world? And so that he will give you the light of life. That he can, only he can meet you in your darkest needs. Only he is the answer for our heart's cry when we continue to put our trust in him. So this is what God provides. It's not only keeping his promise, but he provides himself for us, the fulfillment of his plan, so that every person could be made alive again through his son Jesus. And even more, I think as we unpack the Zechariah song, we see that Zechariah sings about that God liberating his people. And yes, for Zechariah, you can think of the Romans, being the Israelites being liberated from the Romans. But to what? To do what? Remember, to serve God. When we are liberating in God, we're to serve God. And if you think of Zechariah, his concern is in the temple, to serve God, to to continue to bring God's glory through his priesthood, through his task in his priesthood, and that he can serve God without fear and in holiness and in righteousness. And Zechariah knows that his boy, John, will be a prophet and will play a preparatory role for God's redemption plan of liberation. And this comes through the forgiveness of sin, but also in leading Israel into the path of peace. And if this is the vision of Zechariah, and also even Mary we saw 2 weeks ago, that's God's redemptive plan for us. It's that it's not just a personal salvation plan. It's for us to, it's called us to create a society where God's will is actualized. And this is why God gives us the church. It's that together, that as we are saved by God through his redemption plan, the next part is that to establish his kingdom here on earth. That the atoning work of God will wipe away every sin that, and also has to everything to do with God creating a covenant-based community of faith where we are living out his will. And so it's not just salvation for you and I, but we have a response to make, is that we are to live by faith in obedience of his word, to follow his will, that Jesus is the light of the world, and that Jesus becomes the light of the world and becomes the light of our lives so that we can be salt and light in the community around us, to bring God's name and renown into our peers, our schools, our workplace, our neighbors. And so that we can serve him by what? Without fear, in holiness and godliness. So church, can we go out into the world, into our community, and serve him? Because God has provided everything we needed already. And it's now he calls us to partner with him in his mission as his kingdom is breaking in into the community, into this world, that we are to go and serve him without fear. We don't need to fear. And Jesus say that clearly in Matthew 28, it's to go make disciples. And at the end, is to go to a nation and that he will be with us always. So we don't need to be fear because we have Jesus walking alongside of us. And to do so in godliness and in holiness. Let us pray. Our Father, we're so grateful for your Son. We praise that you have one message, is that the message of redemption for us, that you have one deliverer, a perfect, sufficient, and complete deliverer, a high priest that is able to meet all our needs, the one that is fitting for us, that is in our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Lord God, as we get to know you more, as we get to know your Son more, help us to get Jesus simply by trusting in the gospel and what the gospel has to offer, and to receive this great provision that you have made for our soul, that in him redemption and renewal and illumination and peace could be realized. And so that we can go then serve you. We can go serve you for fear and holiness and righteousness. So in the name of your Son we pray. Amen.